Sure.
You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I am super honored and excited for today's guest. He's back on Making Bank. So guys, this is going to be an amazing interview. So make sure you guys get out your pens, you're paying attention, rewind and listen to this as much as you need to grab what we're talking about today and then take some action. So I'm excited to welcome Coot Blackson. He is the author of the national best-selling book, You Are the One, and is widely considered the next generation leader in the field of personal development by everyone ranging from Larry King, Jack Canfield, Marianne Williamson, and many, many more. He's been featured on Larry King Now, Fox and Friends, Dr. Drew, as well as Inc. Magazine calls him the mindfulness guru billionaires go for advice. A charismatic visionary and transformational leader, Coot Blackson offers a fresh, bold look at spiritual awareness for a whole new generation. Born in Ghana, West Africa, Coot's multicultural upbringing as the child of a Japanese mother and a Ghanaian father has spanned four different continents. His unique lineages lay the foundation for his approach to breaking down barriers and unlocking an individual's true gifts and greatness. For over 20 years, Coot Blackson has been inspiring audiences from around the world. From the first time he spoke in front of 3,000 people at the age of 8, to speaking over 300 venues by the age of 18, and helping organizations develop authentic leadership and achieving extraordinary performance over the last decade. His electrifying presentations not only offer a real-world practical ideas, soul-stirring wisdom, as well as ignite the heart and inspire courageous actions. His mission is simple: to awaken and inspire people across the planet to access inner freedom, live authentically, and fulfill their true life's purpose. I'm excited to welcome Coot Blackson back to Making Bank today.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be back.
Yeah, for sure, my friend. It's been a while. A good handful of years since last time. So tell us a little bit. I know last time we talked, you previously had another a book that had come out, and just excited to hear kind of what your journey has taken over the last several years and what you're inspiring others to do right now.
Yeah, I'm really excited because my new book, The Magic of Surrender, is coming out and pretty much out now at the time of this interview. And it is not the book I thought I was going to write. I had other plans for myself. I had other plans of books I wanted to write. Yeah, sometimes the best things in life happen that you don't plan. And that's how The Magic of Surrender came about. The journey for me over the last few years has been beautiful, amazing, some of the highest heights I've experienced. But how the book was really, the genesis of the book was inspired was my mother passed away about 3.5 years ago. And in 2016, a few months after You Are the One came out, in September, my mother was diagnosed with stomach cancer. Totally unexpected, totally a complete shock. I mean, the person I love the most on this planet, gone. And so here I was promoting my new book, inspiring the world. And what I didn't tell the world was literally every month, I was flying from Los Angeles to London to be with my mother for 4 or 5 days. Imagine every month I'm promoting my book, traveling the world, doing events, and taking 5-6 days a month to fly LA, London, to be with my mother in chemo sessions, take care of her, make sure she's okay, fly back to LA, travel around, fly back to London. This was an entire year of my life. And it was intense, you know, it was really, really challenging, but during that year, I got to spend amazing time with my mother. I mean, I love my mother. We were close, but I hadn't spent this kind of time with my mother since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about just sitting with her,
Sure. Talking
about everything and nothing in chemo sessions, seemingly like simple, random stuff. And at first, I was angry. I was upset. This shouldn't be. She shouldn't be getting sick. One of the most amazing women, selfless human beings. Why is this happening to her? So at first, I was angry, but then I moved to a point of acceptance. Mm. And then I moved to a point of surrender. And when I really hit a point of surrender, I was able, a few months into it, to really be grateful to cancer. I was thanking cancer for gifting me this intimate, deep time with my mother. It sort of reignited another level of relationship that wouldn't have happened otherwise. And so I think it was such a blessing. And so one level is acceptance. The next level, acceptance is when you kind of accept the situation as it is. But the next level is surrender. And surrender is when you wholeheartedly participate in the process of what's happening. And I'll get to more of that in a moment. And so I'll never forget, the book was inspired because there's so many things I observed in my mother. There's so many things I learned from my mother. There's so many things I watched my mother. My mother, during this year of her passing and her dying, basically never complained, never cried, never moaned, never felt like a victim, was in total peace the entire time. And I remember when the doctors finally told my mother, basically, the chemo's not working. We can't do surgery. You're going to die. Get your affairs in order. You have weeks, maybe months at most to live. And I asked my mother in the car, how do you feel knowing that you're going to die? Are you afraid? And she looked me in the eyes and she said, I am not afraid, because I know that I am not just this body. I'm not just this physical form. The body might die, but my spirit, my consciousness, that is pure energy, will last forever. And I'll be with you, Ku, and I'll be guiding you from the other side. And it was so inspiring. And I remember saying to her with tears in my eyes, right, you know, Mom, is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can... You know, I wanted to be a good son. Can I take you here? Can I buy you this? And she looked at me and she said, no. This is going to sound strange. It's not a really religious thing, but she said, I just want what God wants for my life. And I realized that she was in such peace during the whole process. I mean, it's easy to be all enlightened when everything is great, but when you're dying and you realize your mortality, this woman was in such peace. And I realized that the key to her peace was that she was surrendered to life. She was surrendered to what was unfolding. And I realized, wow, this was actually the secret to her life. Here's a Japanese woman who married this African guy who she never met, agreed to marry him, having never met him, couldn't speak English, never met a foreign person, let alone an African person, moved literally months later to a foreign land with a foreign person, knew no one. Her whole life had been a process of surrender. And when she passed away, I had many experiences and many epiphanies where I realized, when I looked at the great ones, Jesus, Buddha, Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, Bob Marley, Martin Luther King, Mandela, Mother Teresa, the modern day, like Malala Yousafzai, Greta Thunberg, the climate activist, many of the great ones that we consider great ones, they were great. Not because they were the most handsome. They were great because, not because they were necessarily the most wealthy. They were great because they dare to surrender themselves and surrender their lives to something bigger than themselves, to a cause, to a calling, to a purpose that was bigger than themselves. And in surrendering to something bigger than themselves, they tapped into an infinite stream of power and potential that came through them and used them, where Mandela was able to literally shift apartheid, where Martin Luther King was able to literally, you know, bring people together in the civil rights movement, where they were able to do things that of their own limited human potential and power, they wouldn't have been able to do. To me, this is the magic of surrender, when we really let go and then we really tap into more. And so I just want to say, in our culture, you know, we consider surrender as weak. Oh, surrender. Hey, Josh, don't surrender. You're weak. You're not a man. You know, you're giving up. Surrender is giving up. Surrender means you won't get what you want. Surrender means you're going to be homeless. You're going to lose everything. Surrender is passive. I believe that surrender is, in fact, the most powerful thing we can do. To surrender means to let go of conditions of life. To surrender means you stop negotiating with life. To surrender means you let go of trying to control every single little thing of your life. I mean, as human beings, we try to control everything. We try to control the weather. We try to control how people perceive us. We try to control our spouse. We try to control our wife. We try to control our kids. We try to control our pet goldfish and our pet, you know, chihuahua. We try to control every freaking thing in our life. And all it brings us is more anxiety, more stress. You got to crush it. You got to make it happen. You got to, you know, and all we do is we try to force our way through life. To surrender is to stop trying to force your way through life, to force life to fit into what you think it should be, to force people to be what you think they should be. And instead you start to flow. Instead you start to let go. So let me be clear. Surrender doesn't mean giving up. It doesn't mean being passive. It doesn't mean you don't shop. It doesn't mean you don't give 100%. It doesn't mean you don't take action. It doesn't mean you're lazy. No, surrender is powerful. If you look at the great ones, Mandela, Buddha, you know, Bruce Lee, Muhammad Ali, the ones I mentioned, Martin Luther King, they worked. They surrendered, but they got into work. Surrender is an active thing. And so I really am saying that we need to reframe how we're doing life. We need to reframe and rethink a new way of living. Look at 2020. 2020 right. was not the year we expected. I don't know about you, Josh. We had all, I mean, I had all these great plans. We all, most of us had yeah. amazing plans. 2020, it's going to be the year, vision, double vision. It's going to be amazing. Next level. Oh my God. January, February, boom, COVID, boom, a pandemic, boom, the world shuts down, lockdowns. None of us planned that. Nope. I think that's the universe's way of just reminding us 7 to 8 billion human beings. Okay, you guys, you thought you were in control, but really, you're not as in control as you thought you were. And we got to realize we're not really, we think we're in control, but really we have the illusion of control. You know, so many things we aren't in control of in right. life. And I think control is a master addiction. And so surrender, I believe last year was an initiation and an invitation from life for us as a humanity to evolve to the point where we can shift how we've been doing life. Shift from a very patriarchal way of trying to make your life happen. And even in personal growth and self-development, which will make your life happen, crush it, be it, boom, make it. And I think we end up limiting life this way. Mm. We end up trying to make things. Sure, you can create your life by forcing and pushing, but I think this is an old paradigm. Because I think when you try to force and make and push certain things to be that may not be in flow, you'll get a result. But I guarantee you, it probably won't be. It won't be as amazing, as spectacular, as grand, as big as it could be, you know, because we're living inside of a limited paradigm. I look at Mandela. I'm sure Nelson Mandela did not want to spend 27 years in prison.
Right.
And so we could say, should he have not spent 27 years in prison? If he didn't spend 27 years in prison, and I don't wish anyone to be 27 years in prison, but those 27 years in prison, they give him the time to meditate, to think, to vision, to feel, can you imagine the depth of empathy and forgiveness that he must have accessed 27 years in prison that prepared him to do his mission? And if he didn't spend 27 years in prison, would he have come out and been right. the level of iconic, you know, human being, Mandela, that we think of today? Probably not. And so I think surrender, we have to shift our way of being to a way of flow, to a way of living open, to a way of, rather than forcing life, trying to push life into a certain way, I'm inviting people to open, to actually live heart wide open. Yes, take action, move forward, give 100%, but don't get attached to the results, because many times when we get attached to the results, we block the flow. But when we live open, then we're actually available and open to whatever life is seeking to happen. And many of the best things in life, as I was saying in terms of the book, happen when we don't expect. I mean, sure. Most of us, we didn't plan to meet our soulmate. I'm going to meet the love of my life in the coffee shop at 4 p.m. at this time in the next 22 days. It just happened. happens. We show up, we live life in the process of living and giving, boom, life kind of unfolds. And so I guess I'm proposing a new way of living. And what I'm saying is, if you want the magic, and many of us want the magic, could be more abundance, a new relationship, you know, next level of your purpose. If you want the magic, you must surrender. And what I'm saying is, through surrender, it's not that you might not get what you want. I'm actually proposing that when you surrender, what if you got more than you could imagine for yourself? More joy, more love, more prosperity, more purpose, more than you could imagine for yourself. That's what I'm saying.
Wow. There's like so many ideas and thoughts. As like while you're talking, like, okay, I'm going to ask this and this. So I guess what stops us from surrendering?
Yeah, surrendering, I think what stops us is we're constantly resisting and we're afraid. You know, it's that fear of, look, to surrender is a kind of death. Let's just be honest.
Sure.
It's a death of the ego, because our egos, as human beings, we're egos. We have an idea of, ooh, this is what my life should look like. I got to be here when I'm 13, here when I'm 14. This is what my relationship should look like. This is what this should look like. This is what 2020 should look like. And so we have these ideas, then we get attached to the ideas. We get attached to the outcome. Or maybe we've been living a certain kind of life, a certain kind of career path for a period of time. And now we become so identified with, this is who I am, right? I am this person. I've been doing this thing for 20 years and everyone knows me as this. And I get money, I get fame, I get validation by being this. And so we develop an identity. And so to let go of who we thought we were, to let go of what is not aligned, to let go of, let's say, a relationship that's not working, can be terrifying. It can be terrifying because, to a degree, it is a death of who we thought we were, a death of a dream or vision, a death of a relationship. And so I think that we're, because we're afraid of that, we tend to hold on. And so surrender, just so people are clear, it's not like just, you know, holding incense and chanting om, you know, in the mountaintops, like, oh, this is for the spiritual, you know, monks in Tibet somewhere. No. To surrender might mean you're in a relationship that you know in your heart, if you're really honest, is not right. You're not in love. You're not growing anymore. You outgrew the connection. Yeah, we've all been there. You just know, like, this is not where I'm meant to be anymore. Like, we're done. I need to leave. But you stay because it's comfortable.
Right.
You stay because of what people will think. You stay because out of guilt. To surrender is to have the courage to be honest. This is not working. And to have the challenging conversation to recreate your relationship and possibly leave. That is surrender, right? To surrender is to follow the willingness to follow the most authentic calling in your heart. That is surrender. To surrender might mean if you're, let's say, you're in a job that you know is not what you were put on this planet to do. You're working a job and you've been in this job 10 years and maybe you're successful. Maybe you make money. Maybe, you know, everything. Maybe you're making gazillions of dollars and you know how to do the job, but you've been in the job, but you know, this doesn't light you up. This isn't what you've been put on the planet to do. You know deep down you're capable of so much more, but you keep doing it because you know what to do. You know how it's done. It's safe. To surrender is the willingness to tell the truth to yourself. This is not aligned. This is not why I'm put on this planet. This is not an expression of my Dharma and my soul, true soul's purpose. And to start to surrender means to begin making a shift, to go in a different direction and find ways to start letting go of that job and that situation where you know perhaps you've outgrown your career. You know, I think many times we hold on to what we know because it's safe,
sure,
because it's comfortable, because it's the known. So we have to be willing to really surrender. You have to be willing to go to embrace the unknown. And that can be scary. The degree of freedom we experience in life is in direct proportion with our ability to embrace the unknown. And I believe that part of surrender is a different way of living, I'm proposing, but I think deep down we intuitively know this is there's a part of us that knows it's true. There's a part of us that knows, like, yeah, that feels right. I know it. It feels right. But we're afraid. And so part of surrender is the willingness to allow life to lead you, to allow life to guide you. So I'm saying, you don't have, the mind is always trying to know what everything means. We're always trying to figure out the future. We're trying to figure out what's going to happen. We're trying, last year, as a humanity, we were thrown into a global massive surrender seminar. I mean, it was a seminar of like, nobody knows what the hell is going to happen. Do we go out? Do we not go out? Do I travel? I don't know. Do we make plans? Don't make plans. Nobody knows what the hell. How do we even make plans? This is like an ultimate surrender seminar. And so I think part of surrender is the willingness to allow ourselves, rather trying to just project ourselves into the future, to allow ourselves to be guided. What would happen if you just allowed yourself to show up, give 100%, and allowed life to lead you, allowed life to guide you? There is, and let's take a look at this, Josh, for a moment.
Sure.
Life has been around for billions of years. Billions with a B. 13, 14 billion years. You and I have been around 30, 40, 50, right. 60, 70. Okay, maybe someone's listening to this and they're 92 years old. Life has been around billions of years. Every day, the sun comes out. I don't know about you, Josh, has there ever been a day where you've come out and you looked up at 9 a.m. in the sky and it was pitch black? I mean, maybe unless you're in like Scandinavia somewhere, but you know, in the U.S., right?
Alaska, has there ever been
Alaska, but has there ever, I've never come out and looked at the sky at 10 a.m. in the morning, it was pitch black, and the sun just said, I got a text message from the universe, the sun is asleep, the sun just forgot to come up today, I'm sorry. Never happens. Every day of my entire existence, the sun rises. Every day of my existence, there is oxygen in the air to breathe. Every day, the moon comes up. Every single day, there's an intelligence that is functioning the sun, functioning the stars, functioning the moon, functioning all of existence, living and breathing 7-8 billion people. There is an intelligence. Call it whatever you want. I don't care. God, infinite, blah, 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 consciousness, life force, energy. I don't care what label you put on it. It doesn't matter. But there is something that when you eat a piece of fish or a kale or a veggie burger, or you ingest it, there's an intelligence that knows how to take that nutrition and turn it into your body. There is an intelligence that knows if you cut your finger, if you keep it clean, how to bring your healing to your finger. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to chant and meditate. You don't have to believe anything. Your body knows how to heal itself. There is an intelligence inside of us. How is it that we've lost touch with that intelligence, that we've become so afraid. We've become so afraid, and we live our life out of tune with nature. As a humanity, you know, I joke that we have learned to trust more in our GPS system and Siri than life. Yeah. Siri says, turn left. Okay, I turn left. Turn right. Okay, turn right. No question.
Right.
But we feel a calling in our soul, right? Launch that business. Well, you know, I don't know. Do that. I don't know if I'm... We question life. We question ourselves. We question the universe. But we don't question Siri. Mm-hmm. We don't question our GPS system. So I think surrender is returning back to the flow. Returning back to ourselves and beginning to allow life to lead us. I believe there is an intelligence of life that is functioning existence, that if we allow it to guide us, we start becoming still. We start listening to that voice inside, not our mind, that the deeper voice inside. And we start following that. That's when I think we are guided in ways that we cannot imagine. And so this is part of surrender.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode of Making Bank. And one of the really cool things is just like we have Making Bank highlights on Amazon, I want to tell you about this app that I found that is amazing. It's one of the most useful apps on my phone. And to me, having those business success hacks, different things like that, that are going to speed up your time, because time is very important and valuable. So the better ways that I can optimize my time, I'm always looking for. And it's my secret weapon to learning new things. I love listening to audiobooks. I always listen to audiobooks when my kids and I are heading to martial arts. throughout the week. And so we can condense a lot of information and talk about it and really learn. It's always hard to find time just to sit down and read a full book. And when you don't have that free time, you can't read or work on personal development. So there's an incredible app that I found that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. Blinkist is what I'm talking about. And if you don't have it, you need to get this right now. Download it on your phone. I want you to pull out your iPhone right now or your Google Android and find Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. And it's really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, your web browser. And the Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read and listen to. 15 minutes. Think how much time saving. They're going to highlight all the points. Successful people like myself, other business leaders as well, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly. So you can start using the information right away. Start applying that. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or even while you exercise. There are 12 million people that are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from the bestseller list, as well as classic nonfiction titles you are always meant to read but never had the time to. So for me, when I use Blinkist, is when I jump on an airplane or maybe I'm in an Uber and I need to have that quick to the point. And also too, if I need to, maybe somebody I'm interviewing on my podcast here for Making Bank, and I want to get the highlight points of the book because I don't have time to dive in and read all of that, I use Blinkist to jump in, listen to that, and you know, really be able to understand what the book is, what it's about, and those highlights from that. And, you know, a couple of the most recent ones are Sapiens, It's a Brief History of Humankind, and Getting Things Done by David Allen are some awesome ones that I've recently checked out on Blinkist. So I want to give you guys a special opportunity right now, since you're listening to Making Bank. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our Making Bank audience. Go to Blinkist.com/Making Bank. Try it free for 7 days, as well as save 25% off your subscription. That's 25% off. That's Blinkist, Blinkist.com/Making Bank to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/Making Bank. Again, Blinkist.com/Making Bank.
And so question, maybe to bring some clarity for everyone. So as we surrender, how do we then, are you saying don't set goals, don't set outcomes?
Oh, yes. Great you know, question. Or, yeah, I love this question.
And just kind of like live freely and bounce all around or.
Yeah, just sit around and just like sit in my couch and see what happens.
Right.
No, here's what I'm saying. You can't, first I just want to say, it was a very good question. But look, let's look at, as I answer that question, let's look at some of the goals that we've set in our past, right? Many times, the goals that we've set, if we really look at them, are what we thought we wanted. But as we grow and evolve and mature, we start realizing that some of the things we thought were goals we wanted weren't really goals that we really wanted. They were just what we thought we wanted based on who we thought we were. So some of the goals, I challenge each of us to think about, some of the goals that we thought we wanted weren't really what we really wanted. Some of the goals we thought we wanted were things that we thought we wanted based on who we thought we were, based on our conditioning, based on our parents, based on some of our unmet needs from childhood, based on some of our trauma, based on some of our, you know, dysfunction. And so we thought, oh, if I can get that goal, if I can get that Lamborghini, if I can get the goal, if I can get the house, if I can get the career, if I can be famous, if I can win an Oscar, then, oh, it's going to validate me and I'm going to be enough. So some of our goals aren't even what we really wanted. To prove the point, I'm sure, Josh, you've had this experience. I've had this experience where I achieved some of the things that I thought I wanted, and it did, and I was not happy. I actually got what I thought I wanted, and I was sitting there going, this is not what I want. Is this it?
You're like, oh,
you know?
Yeah.
And so we actually, before we answer that question, have to kind of question, what are our true goals? Hmm. And so I'm not saying, oh, surrender means just like free for all. No, you can make a plan. You can set goals. All I'm saying is don't. First, I'm saying question the goals you're setting in the first place, because they may not be the real goals you really want. But then I'm saying if you set goals, and as you set goals, do the best you can as authentically as you can, but don't get so attached to those goals. Don't get so attached to those goals, like, it's got to happen this way. Right. I've got to meet my soulmate in the next 30 days. And he's got to be 6'4", and he's got to go to Harvard, and it's got to be this way. And sometimes we get so attached to our goals being a specific way that it creates anxiety and stress. But also, in our attachment, we start limiting the infinite creativity and possibilities of the universe, because we start thinking, oh, I've got, the goal has to manifest this way. But maybe, and now we're not really open to the other 2,000 ways that it could show up. So maybe it could show up because you could, maybe it shows up because you get fired. Maybe it shows up because you walk into a coffee shop and someone says, oh, I'm looking for a business to invest in. And it's exactly your business. Maybe it shows up, but we're often saying, no. It's got to be just this way and only this way. And so we're often only able to see reality, or what we think is reality, based on our limitation of our own limited perspective of our own personalities and egos, which is based on our conditioning. So as egos, we don't see the whole picture. And so don't get attached to the goals. Show up, give 100%. Give everything you have to the goals without attachment. Meanwhile, simultaneously, be open to life revealing something better or more. Because as you go towards the goals, if you're attached, you won't be open to more. You're like, no, it's got to be this. No. I've got to marry this person. It has to be this person, only this person. And then we're not open. Maybe, you know, look, even in relationships, we've all had this experience where I'm sure, maybe Josh, you've had this, maybe folks listening, you've had this experience where you are so in love with someone. Like, you're like, this is the one. I've met the one forever. And you were so sure they were going to be the one. And then you broke up. And anyone had that experience, right? You broke up with that person.
Probably a few times.
And then maybe 2 years from now or 5 years from now, you look back at that relationship and you were like, thank God that didn't work out. Thank God that didn't work out. But we were so attached. So attachment, the goals aren't the issue. The attachment is the issue. And if the goal is not truly what's meant for you, then go in a direction. The goal will take you on a journey. The goal will take you on an evolutionary journey that will cause you to grow, cause you to learn. And you may not get the outcome of that goal, but it will take you on the journey, which will then, if we're truly open and available and surrendered and non-attached, it will take you on the journey of where you need to go, which may not be where you think you need to go. And then you're able to sort of like zigzag and then take the feedback of the universe, and it takes you over here. And then maybe it takes you over there. And then maybe you allow it to take you over here, and then it takes you over there. But when you're attached, you're like, no, it's got to be like this and only like this. And that's when we block the flow. So in many ways, we don't even realize, Josh, that we are the ones blocking the flow of blessings in our lives. We're the ones with our attachment. The next level of your life will require the next level of you. But the next level of you will require that you let go, that we let go of those things and those situations and those relationships that are no longer in alignment with who we are today. What we tend to do, though, is we hold on. Out of fear, we tend to hold on. No, I don't want to let this go.
Right.
And so we don't realize, by holding on to that which isn't working, we're blocking our blessing. By holding on to that which isn't working, This is our affirmation of our lack of trust in the universe. And by holding on to that which isn't working, relationships and situations and the job, we tend to create the energy of that which we're holding on to in our lives. And so I think if we truly want the magic, that's why I said, if you want the magic, you got to surrender. You've got to let go. And so I'd ask those listening, what's not working in your life right now? What's not working in your life right now? Many of us, we're holding on to things in our lives that aren't working. It's not working, but we're holding on to it. Many of the things, you know, look at 2020. Certain things that didn't happen or that fell out of our lives or fell apart in our lives, as challenging as it was, some of those things we know, if we're honest, they weren't working anyway.
Right.
And so it wasn't working anyway. And so now here we are holding on to shit that's not working. And so I'm saying, let it go. When you let go of that which isn't working, and it takes courage, have the courage to let go, you are creating space. When your life is cluttered with people and situations and relationships that aren't working, that are not vibrating at a higher level, that are not a vibrational match with your next level, all you're doing is keeping yourself stuck. So if you want the magic, you have to let go. So look in your life. What's not working? People, situations, relationships, let go. As you let go of that old energy, metaphysically, you start vibrating higher. As you start vibrating higher, your frequency shift. And if everything is energy and like energy attracts like energy, as your energy vibrates higher because you're letting go of the old, you'll then become a vibrational match to attract the next level of people and relationships and abundance and opportunities into your life. When we create the space, we become available. Mm. And so that's the magic, you know? Many times we want the magic, but we want to keep on to the old.
Like, right.
I'm in a relationship that sucks. I'm in a relationship with someone I'm not in love with. And we pray, we visualize, we meditate. God, please give me my soulmate. But we're holding on to the person that is who is not our soulmate. Please give me my soulmate. Let go. Let go. Let go. And you will see. You will see. Trust. Trust, all I'm saying is trust bigger than yourself. Life will give you more. Many times we get attached to those goals, just to go back to the beginning of your question. And we set goals with our mind. Hmm. This is the limitation. Okay, Josh, I want to attain this. I want to attain that. And we set goals with our mind. It's okay, but we have to realize that the mind, it's limited because the mind is conditioned. The mind only has a reference to the past and only can set goals based on references from what we've experienced in our past in this moment. But when we're truly open, we're available to our soul. We're available to life. We're truly available to life. Then we step out of limitation. We're no longer bound to the limitation of our mind and goal setting with our mind. We're fully open to life and what life wants to reveal to us, what life wants to reveal through us. Then we're open to infinite possibilities. That's what I'm saying. If we show up and do our part and take action, unlimited potential can manifest through us in our lives beyond what we can imagine, beyond what we can imagine. Look at Oprah. There's no way Oprah Winfrey, love her, hate her, I don't know. I mean, who doesn't love Oprah, right? but look at Oprah, a black woman born in the South, you know, in the 40s or 50s or whenever she was born, 60s, I'm not sure the exact date, forgive me. But, you know, in a time where racism was still kind of intense, yeah. Born to, I mean, raped and abused. I mean, some challenging circumstances. There's no way Oprah could have strategized and planned to be where she was at now. Mm. But she didn't just sit there and go, oh, I'm going to surrender. And that means I'm just going to sit on the couch and just wait. No. She showed up. She took action. And she went in the direction. So I'm saying go in the direction of what you love. She went in the direction of what she loved. She loved to communicate. She loved to speak. She got a job at the news, reading the news. I think it was in Baltimore. And she read the news, but she was too compassionate. So she would cry when she'd read the bad news that people were going through. And her boss, the GM, said, "This is not going to work. You can't be crying when you're reading the news." So he fired her. Was this bad? She got fired. Most of us think that's bad. Here's the thing. When you're living surrender and living the magic of surrender, here's a belief that I want everyone to think, to understand. The universe is always working for your highest good. The universe is always working for your highest good. Even if you can't see it right now, it's always working for your highest good. So even when you get fired, that doesn't mean it's bad. Something is getting cleared from your life and you're being pushed into the direction of more alignment. So here Oprah was fired, giving a little talk show in one market. That blew up. More markets, that blew up. Went into syndication, that blew up. She started beating Donahue, that exploded. National syndication, that exploded. Boom, boom, Oprah Winfrey. She couldn't have planned that with her mind.
Yeah, so true.
She couldn't have like, oh, I'm going to be one of the richest women in the world, the richest. It was an unfolding. So I'm just saying, life is not limited. So let's not limit ourselves. Be open, fully open.
Wow. Guys, I hope you guys are really paying attention to this. It's so powerful and impactful that what Cute's saying. Make sure you're taking notes. Go back, listen to this again, watch this again, pay attention, and then start to figure out where in your life are you holding back? What are you holding on to too much? What's not working? And then how to start to release that.
So with our company, we've always scrambled and struggled to try to find great platforms to hire on. And then one day we came across Indeed. And so if you're the hiring expert for your company, what you really need is help making your shortlist of quality candidates easier. You need a hiring partner who helps make your life easier as well. You need Indeed. And again, Indeed is who I use. Indeed is the job site that makes hiring as easy as 1, 2, 3, post, screen, and interview, all on Indeed. Get your quality shortlist of candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description faster. Only pay for candidates that meet your qualifications and schedule a complete video interviews in your Indeed dashboard. Indeed makes connecting with and hiring the right talent fast and easy. With tools like Indeed Instant Match, that is super important. Giving you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description immediately, and Indeed skills tests. On average, that reduces hiring time by 27%. And if you're like me, you want to get back as much of your time as possible, so use Indeed. You can choose from more than 130 skills tests, and then you can add the must-have requirements, so you only pay for the applications that actually meet what you need. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So if you're hiring, you definitely need Indeed. Get a $75 ad credit at Indeed.com/makingbank. Again, Indeed.com/makingbank. This offer is valid through June 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
I know we only got a couple minutes left. One last thing I kind of like to wrap up with is... So we're holding on to things super tight. We don't want to let them go. What's that process or those steps to be able to get through that, to release,
you know,
to open?
Yeah, I think one place to start, let me give a simple, I don't want to call it technique, but one place where people can maybe begin is one of the things that keeps us stuck are all the ways that we lie to ourselves. In many ways, we are constantly BSing ourselves and rationalizing with our mind as to why we believe that's true when deep down we know it's not. We're BSing ourselves. We're not telling the truth to ourselves about who we are, what we need, what we feel, and about where we're at. Maybe like maybe we're an alcoholic, but we're functioning alcoholic. And we're like, no, I kind of got this under control. I'm not really an alcoholic, but we drink every night.
Right.
And we can't not drink every night. And we're BSing ourselves about how we're not addicted, but we are addicted, and how we could give up, but we keep drinking and we don't stop. And we're not being honest about how maybe it's impacting our clarity and our creative thinking. Honesty is a key to begin shifting your life. So I would invite everyone listening to begin. To begin by saying, what lies am I telling myself? You know, sometimes we play a game of confusion, a game of like, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm confused. When deep down, we know that the relationship is not right for us. We know what we need to do. We know we need to have the conversation. We know this addiction is not working and we need to deal with it head on. Surrender is the willingness to be honest with where we're at and the willingness to take responsibility for the action we need to take. This is surrender. Surrender is not laziness. It is responsibility to do what is most true. And so, what lies am I telling myself? What am I pretending to not know? What are the lies that I'm telling myself costing me? And be willing to feel. Many times we distract ourselves, which then just allows us to keep doing what we're doing that's not working. But if we really feel like, wow, doing this thing is costing me my relationship. Doing this thing is costing me my living my purpose and the life of my dreams. Doing this thing is keeping me stuck, and that is painful. Surrender right to feeling that. Feel it. And use that pain, the truth, the pain of truth, to move you forward. That's where I would say begin. What lies am I telling myself? What am I pretending to not know? Be ruthlessly honest. Pain is a teacher. Pain is a signal. To me, pain is not bad. Pain is showing you where some part of you is out of alignment or lying and not telling the truth. And to me, your ability to manifest is not about fancy manifestation techniques. Your ability to manifest is about bringing yourself into alignment. The more in alignment you are with your integrity, with your truth, I believe the more present you will be in this moment, because when we're not in alignment, when we're not telling the truth, when we will be fragmented in all sorts of directions, because the amount of energy it takes to lie to ourselves. But when we're truly being honest, we are aligned. When we're aligned, we are present. When we're present, we're going to be more productive. When we're more productive, we're going to be more successful. And when we're more successful, I'm looking at the logo on top of your head, you're gonna make more bank. It's pretty straight. It's pretty simple, you know. And so that's a place I would say start. Be ruthlessly committed to a self-investigation to tell the truth and clear out what is not aligned. Really, let it go. Clear it out. Yes, you will lose things in the process, but what you will lose wasn't really right for you anyway. You might lose friends in the process by being more truthful, more honest. But likely, if you're going to lose friends by being more honest, probably they probably weren't your real friends in the first place. So the only thing you will lose is that which isn't really working. Then you have the space to invite new possibilities, new magic, new greatness. That's why I say, if you want the magic, you've got to surrender. Surrender the lies, surrender the ego, surrender being right, surrender the fear, you know, and just surrender control, live true. That's where I would say people can begin, you know, an investigation of honesty. Sometimes we get so stuck, especially as business people, sometimes we get stuck in what I call the trap of success. We do something and it works. So we keep doing it and we keep doing it. And we build that business and we keep doing it. And it's like, wow, it's working and everyone loves us and we're making money and it's just working. And we've just kind of started to get comfortable, you know? Now we're no longer growing, but it's working and I'm making money. But we're not growing anymore as a human being. We're not growing anymore as entrepreneurs. We're not growing anymore as a soul. We have to have the courage to ask ourselves, what's working in my life? This is a scary one. What's working in my life? And how is doing more of what's working limiting the next level of my growth, the next level of my vision? Everyone great came to a point where they out, if you're growing, you will outgrow who you were. That is the goal. You will outgrow who you were. And then it's scary because you realize you've got to jump off the edge and you've got to fly that next level. You know, look at Elon Musk, PayPal, outgrew PayPal, sold PayPal, and said, talk about surrender. People don't think, oh, Elon Musk is surrendering. When you put 200 million or 300 million of your money on the line, which is what you, which is pretty much most of what you have on the line to build Solar City, to build Tesla, to build your next level, that's called surrender. Elon Musk in the beginning was following his calling, following, surrendering. That is an example of surrender. He did what he felt was true. And look at him now.
Yeah.
The richest man in the world. I'm not promising that we're all going to be the richest people in the world, but what I will promise is when you follow what's true and you surrender, you will access a freedom. You will access a possibility. And what I do promise is life will guide you to exactly where you need to be with exactly the people you need to be doing things with at the and you'll be the right person in the right moment, the right time. The journey may not look what you thought it would look like, but I promise you it will end up better than you could have imagined for yourself.
Wow. Amazing, my friend. So much awesome content here today. Just really appreciate your time coming back on Making Bank, just sharing these amazing insights. Tell our audience where is the best place they can go find out about the new book, The Magic of Surrender.
Awesome. Awesome. Appreciate that. Yeah, people can go to www.themagicofsurrender.com. Go there, find out all the info. There's videos, there's trailers, information's there. You can get the book on Amazon. Once you buy the book, go back to the website, enter your name, your email, enter your receipt. You're going to get all these amazing free gifts. I'm giving away a three-part training video, free audios, free meditation. So many good things to support you in your journey of surrendering, as well as there's a one-day, there's a free event we're doing as well to kick off the Magic of Surrender. It's a Magic of Surrender seminar and a one-day event. So all the info is on www.themagicofsurrender.com.
Awesome. Guys, the link's down below. Click it. Go grab a copy. Check it out. It's out this week. And, you know, just really appreciate your time again today. And thank you for coming back on Making Bank.
Thanks for having me.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.